This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday podcast on Thanksgiving Day, the 28th of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson with the news, including some details on the woman selected to be the next USDA secretary and how the Trump trade policies could impact Indiana specialty crop production. Happy Thanksgiving to you from all of us and First Farmers Bank and Trust, our podcast sponsor. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Also coming up today, Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. He says today's holiday weather will be okay. Some colder air is coming in, though. And the ag markets yesterday mixed. We'll have market analysis with Tom Fritz on the Hat Thanksgiving Day podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
What we know about Brooke Rollins, President Trump's nominee for U.S. Ag Secretary, and how Trump's trade policies could impact Indiana's specialty crop producers. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, more than a dozen ag leaders were rumored to be in the running to become the next U.S. Ag Secretary, including Kip Thom and Ted McKinney, both from Indiana. But last weekend, Brooke Rollins of Texas, who was not among those mentioned in the rumor mill, was ultimately picked by President Trump to lead USDA in his second term.
There's issues right now that she'll come on day one that have been ongoing. I think we have the right person to go in there and roll up her sleeves.
And that's Jess Peterson, senior policy advisor with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. He admits that Rollins isn't as well known to ag leaders across the U.S., but he says that also has its advantages.
That means she won over President-elect Trump, and she has something that President Trump believes in. And frankly, she comes from some out-of-the-box thinking. She's from Texas, so she's not going to be beholden to anyone in the Beltway or in Washington. She's going to work on America First priorities, and there's some very, very key issues that we look forward to working with her.
Rollins had served in Trump's first administration as director of the Office of American Innovation and as acting director of the Domestic Policy Council. Since leaving the White House, Rollins has co-founded the America First Policy Institute and serves as the organization's president and CEO. Peterson says that Rollins' background is a plus.
I always like folks that get in that role that look that they're not looking for the next big consulting gig after it, right? That truly are excited. They come from the grassroots. She has a legal background, a law degree. That's very helpful. She served in state politics. So you look at a resume of both real world working knowledge and policy knowledge. So she brings both of those to the table.
And once she's confirmed by the U.S. Senate early next year, Rollins will oversee USDA's 29 agencies, over 106,000 federal employees, and a budget of more than $437 billion. Well, speaking of Trump's new administration, Sabrina Halverson reports how Trump's trade policies could impact Indiana's specialty crop producers.
While the president-elect has signaled a focus on tariffs as a tool for renegotiating trade deals, the implications for specialty crops could be profound. Trade expert Ron Baumgarten, a former U.S. Trade Representative official, says specialty crops face unique challenges.
Those types of products also face phytosanitary requirements, plant health requirements. And so there's a lot more focus in foreign markets on those issues, too, as well as technical barriers to trade like labeling requirements, registration requirements, and things like that.
The United States exports billions of dollars worth of specialty crops annually, with major markets including China, Canada, and the European Union. However, Baumgarten pointed out that these products have been targeted in retaliation during trade disputes.
You might recall the last time there were payments that USDA made to farmers that had been hurt by the retaliation. And so they're going to be aware of that issue. On the other hand, they're also going to be looking for really strong bench on the ag trade front like they did the last time. And I think those officials are going to be aggressive and be backed up by very capable people that work at USTR to push to open up these markets for American agricultural products.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And on behalf of all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, we wish you and your loved ones a very happy Thanksgiving and safe travels over the next several days. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. The Thanksgiving holiday actually is going to turn out to be okay. We got the bulk of our precipitation in overnight going back into yesterday afternoon. We may see a few lingering spats of precipitation in southeast and far southern parts of Indiana here this morning to start things off, but I think we're done relatively quickly. Might even be able to see clouds give way to sunshine. Now, I'll be honest with you, don't count on that because we are seeing a big wall of cold air start to head southward. That cold air comes into a relatively mild air mass, all things considered, and we're going to be seeing some lake effect come in as well. Mostly I'm talking about lake effect cloud cover for Indiana. But we're also going to be seeing lake effect in the forecast with regard to precipitation in the days ahead. But first things first, for the balance of your day today, is again, we're saying precipitation done relatively quickly, at least by midday at the latest, probably sooner. Clouds, maybe some sunshine this afternoon, but strong north winds will be developing north and northwest, and that means temperatures drop quickly. We are very cold then to finish the weekend for tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Below normal temperatures, I'm talking highs in the 20s and lows in the teens and even a few single-digit runs in there. So coldest air of the season so far, it is on the way. And with that strong northwest flow coming across the Great Lakes, that's where we see on-again, off-again clouds, the lake effect clouds, and we won't rule out lake effect precipitation. Now, most of us won't have to worry about that. We can see flurries probably anywhere on Friday in Indiana, but the lake effect that is bothersome is going to be in the key areas close to Lake Michigan, northwest Indiana, western Michigan. And then as we move through Saturday, we still see that lake effect set up, but we have a little clipper system coming late afternoon, evening that may give central Indiana a quick spat of snow here and there. Sunday, clouds and limited sun once again. Lake effect still rolling up north. I don't think there's anything central and south. And then next week, guess what? I'm not going to have any changes to that pattern. I think we stay cold all the way through next week, maybe seeing temperatures moderate late next Thursday into Friday, just in time for another round of precipitation to try and come in here. I think there's a little bit of rain potential for next Friday night into early Saturday. And then we have another big surge of cold Canadian air coming back down in. So after being well above normal for so long during this fall season, we're starting to get temperatures much colder than we should be and where we should be, both of those combined as we move into December. So gear up for that. And in the meantime, have a great Thanksgiving. Try not to eat too much. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
More choppy and mixed trade on Wednesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank, and the settlements coming up from Wednesday trade. First market analysis, and at the end of trade, I checked in with Tom Fritz in Chicago for that. Tom, the markets were mixed going into the Thanksgiving break. Been an interesting Thanksgiving week, and only beans finished the day higher, although flat in a couple of corn contracts. Let's start with the support for the bean futures market. Where did that come from?
Well, I think support in the bean market, I think the bigger picture is the anticipation of a slowdown in the crush. The meal market is finally getting some relief from, soybean oil. It seems like, normally when you're buying bean oil, you're selling meal. When you're selling bean oil, you're buying meal, and that spread hadn't been working. And finally, now it's starting to work. And so I think you've got a little bit of technical buying in the meal market that's supporting soybeans. Go look at a soybean meal chart. It's in, I don't want to call it historic support, but it's pretty close to being in very long-term support. You look at a weekly chart on meal or a monthly chart on soybean meal, and when you get soybean meal down in the 280s, from a time frame, it usually doesn't spend too much time down in that level. So I think the slowdown in the crush means less meal. For a while there, they had been crushing for bean oil, but now I think the bloom is off the rose with the bean oil market. There's some talk that the demand for soybean oil for our fuel needs is going to start slowing down. Why, I'm not really sure. Maybe the lack of credits. You know, it seems like these guys won't crush unless they have credits. So, I think that's part of it. So I think that lends some support to the soybean market. But, you know, go look at where soybeans have been. They've been nowhere. You look at Jan beans. Jan beans go home at 9.88¾. Contract low is what, 15 cents lower? So, you know, I don't think this is any big deal. The interior soybean basis is firm, so that helps your spread. Jan-March beans are into 8 cents, so, you know, I think that's it. But, you know, I just don't think the bean market's going anywhere. The weather in South America seems to be pretty okay. There's been some dry areas developing in southern Brazil, but they say that's not going to last, that there's plentiful rain on the way. For both southern Brazil, central Brazil, and even Argentina. So, you know, I just don't think today's rally in beans is all that much. Maybe a little bit of intermarket spreading for a while there. It was owning corn, selling beans. So I think there's a little bit of reversal in that regard. Corn market, as you can see, March corn finishes flat, May corn's flat. The big story in the corn market today was liquidation at Dease Corn ahead of first notice day. At one point last night, the Dease March corn spread was at a 7¾-cent spread, and late in the day today, it traded out to 13 cents. So I think that was the trade in the corn market, but I'm not sure the corn market's going anywhere in that regard. Demand for corn, it's been okay. Does it make you stand up and notice? I think it's going to have to take a USDA report showing us that corn exports are going to be good, and it's going to put a dent in our carryout. I think the ethanol numbers were good this morning. They continue to stay strong. So it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, the downside in corn is limited. But without the USDA, showing us some noticeable demand improvements in the demand side of the equation, the corn market's going to be stuck here for a little bit. But, right now, March corn, I think you're in support where it is right now, and 450 is your resistance level. So there's room to rally. Wheat market has no friends. You know, a week ago, everybody was going, between the Russians and the Ukrainians throwing missiles back and forth at one another. Well, now that's really hasn't impacted the wheat deliveries out of the Black Sea. Plus, you've got Argentina. Argentina's harvesting wheat. Australia's harvesting wheat. They both have good wheat crops. And the U.S. is getting the short end of the stick. So, longer term, our president-elect, he talks about, how he's going to tariff China for both imports and exports. And now this week, he's going to talk about, imposing tariffs, import tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Now, is this man just bending over backwards to kill our trade, or is it all bluster? So we'll see how that goes. But for the time being, I don't think the soybean market's going anywhere as long as we don't have weather issues in South America. Corn, put your trading shoes on, fade the what I call the short-term extremes. And I think the wheat market's in a bit of an extreme, but It was hard to ignore Kansas City wheat, DKC wheat down 24 cents going into first notice day. So I think these wheat and corn markets, once we get out of the delivery scenario where, you know, everybody has to liquidate ahead of first intentions, which is tonight, you know, things will sort themselves out. So, but in the long, in the longer term, I just don't think we're going anywhere.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now, December corn on Wednesday, down 4.25, 4.15 3/4. Unchanged for both March and May. March going into Thanksgiving at 4.28, May 4.35 1/4. Up 1.25 on the January beans, 9.88 3/4. March, 9.97, a gain of 3 cents. May up 2.25 at 10.10 3/4. And March wheat, 9.5 cents lower, 5.48 1/2. February live cattle, 188.60. That was up 90 cents. Very strong in lean hog futures before a big turnaround. February going 87.92, down 35 cents on the day. No markets on Thursday, Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.